In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I read a blog post recently. It was from a priest monk who's the abbot of a monastery. And he was talking about the difference between Western Christianity from the 16th century forward and ancient Christianity. And he talked about it in terms of this. He said Western Christians from the 16th century forward say, I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Bible. And even when I was living in the Bible Belt for most of my priesthood, there would be institutions that if you wanted to, say, advertise on their radio station, you had to sign a document that said, I believe that the Bible is the inherent word of God. You had to sign that because they believe in the Bible. And his point was that prior to the 16th century, obviously we believed in God, and as all Christians do, God is Trinity, but we believed in something that we say at every liturgy. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Prior to the 16th century, belief was in God, of course, and in the church. And that's a different perspective. And of course, since we believe in the church, and since it is the church herself that is the writer and organizer of the books of the New Testament, it is obvious that we would hold the Bible in high esteem. But it's a much different perspective. And it's a perspective for us to consider on this Sunday of All Saints, which is the Sunday after Pentecost. Now, there's a lot of nice things on the internet. This comes right off of the GoArch website. I'll just read you this little paragraph. It explains today, the first Sunday after the Feast of Holy Pentecost is observed by the Orthodox Church as the Sunday of All Saints. This day has been designated as a commemoration of all of the saints, all the righteous, the prophets, apostles, martyrs, confessors, shepherds, teachers, and holy monastics, both men and women alike, known and unknown, who have been added to the choirs of the saints, and shall be added from the time of Adam until the end of the world, who have been perfected in piety and have glorified God by their holy lives. Now, this practice of canonizing people, identifying certain people as saints, is not in the Bible, per se, although we refer to saints in the Bible, but it certainly is in the tradition of the church. So on this Sunday of All Saints, the church in her wisdom wants to share with us what it means to be a saint. And knowing, by the way, that all of us are called to sainthood, at least with a small s, if not with a capital S. And so what is it? What is it that the church thinks is important for us to be saintly in our living, so that we might be, as we heard in this morning's epistle reading, we might be like those who are in the so-called cloud of witnesses? Well, the gospel reading begins this way. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. And everyone who denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Obviously, this is Jesus speaking. Now, the saints acknowledged Christ through their martyrdom, through their piety, through their generosity, through their humility, through their miracles, through their boldness, through their teaching, through their preaching, or any combination thereof. How are we to acknowledge Jesus Christ? Well, the way we live our faith, to be sure, and the way we live our faith not only for our own personal, quote-unquote, salvation, but so that goodness can exude from our lives and for the salvation of the world. We acknowledge Jesus Christ when we tell other people about him. And throughout our lives, we're going to have those openings where people are going to say, what's wrong with me? What can I do to turn my life around? What's going on in your life? Why is it that things don't bother you? Whatever it is, and you'll be able to provide the answer. So We tell people about Jesus to acknowledge him, obviously. And we acknowledge Jesus Christ when we make the time to pray and to worship and to teach our young to do so. And now you said, I just talked about living the faith. I did. But sometimes we kid ourselves and we think that we can live the faith without praying and worshiping. And the answer to that is no. If we do not pray and do not worship, we need to fix that. And we need to teach young people to pray and worship. But Jesus also talks about in Matthew chapter 10 about denying him. When do we deny Jesus? Well, we deny him when we avoid public acts of piety, not out of humility, but out of embarrassment. That's a denial of Jesus. Now, there are times when we might want to, out of humility, not do a broad or grand display of piety, but when we're embarrassed, that's something else. We deny Jesus when we go along with the crowd, when everybody says that word. It's not a cuss word anymore. No, it is. And we deny Jesus when we keep silent, when we could make a difference in obvious struggles against injustice. We see that all around us, as sometimes the church is painfully mute as great pain is being inflicted onto people. Jesus says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And sometimes that's hard for parents to hear, but we think about Abraham and Isaac. There's so much to the story of Abraham and Isaac, but one of the teachings, obviously, is that Abraham is willing to sacrifice this child of promise because of his obedience to God. And the truth is that all of us who are members of families should value God even more than our family members. And here's why. Because if I don't value God first, where am I going to get the patience and the forbearance and the capacity to forgive that I need to be a real family member? God gives me that. That's why I'm Christian, so I can, over the course of my life, acquire these qualities. It is no accident that in the liturgical life of the church, at funerals and at memorial services, we always refer to the departed as our brother or sister, not our grandmother in Christ, not our cousin in Christ, but our brother or sister in Christ. And why is that? Because if we are living correctly in our families, then yes, we have our roles as parents and children and brothers and sisters, biological brothers and sisters. But we have this role of brother and sister in Christ that emerges as we all reach adulthood. And that role in many ways almost makes the other roles not insignificant, but less stress-filled. And it isn't true if we have our relationship with our children or our parents, where we regard them as brothers and sisters in Christ, a lot of the baggage seems tends to fall away. So yes, we are to value God above all things. Jesus says, he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. You have heard me say in sermons, those of you who have come to me for confession have heard me say, no one gets to choose his or her path to sainthood. You don't get to choose it, it gets laid on you. But no one gets to choose whether or not to say no to that path to sainthood. When life lays its crosses upon us, we take them up with faith and with strength and with courage, and we carry them so that we can learn how to rely on Jesus Christ, because only he can help us carry our cross. Then Jesus says this, that Peter said in reply to Jesus, lo, we have left everything and followed you. What then shall we have? Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man shall sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Now Jesus is talking there about literally leaving home to follow him. And many have done that and continue to do that in the history of the church. But for those who do not leave home to follow Jesus, there is a metaphorical leaving behind that we can certainly consider. Our sinful habits, destructive relationships, maybe even some unhealthy things we learned in the house that we grew up in. We can leave all of those things behind as we follow Jesus. And speaking on behalf of those who have left home physically and tried to leave home metaphorically, sometimes leaving home physically is way easier than leaving our metaphorical home. And then Jesus concludes with these words, "But many that are first will be last, and the last first." And that's a reminder, we shouldn't kid ourselves. We might think we're in first place because we call ourselves Christian, but if we don't deny Christ, if we don't take up our cross, if we don't make radical changes in our lives that are needed of us, if we don't affirm Jesus, well, we can call ourselves Christian, but that's all we are, is Christians in name only. So this morning, the church on the Sunday of All Saints calls us to live in a way that is saintly, and it is the way described in this morning's gospel reading. We do it not because, quote-unquote, we believe in the Bible, but we do it because the church valued these words enough to put them down for us in writing so that we know how important they are. And we who say that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church must also say that we believe in these words that God himself spoke, Jesus Christ spoke. Matthew's church felt were so important they had to be written down, and the church has continued to prescribe their reading annually on this Sunday. And we do these things. We affirm Jesus. We take up our cross. We leave behind things of our past so that we can follow him more clearly. We do all these things, yes, because this is what saints do. But we also do all these things because these are the words that are found in the Bible.